My ADD brain is trying to start on time. Yes. No, I want all of you to move up here. Good morning. We're still gathering together, which is a good, wonderful thing. It is good to see everyone here this Sunday. Hard to believe. It is the fifth Sunday in Lent, which means that next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the Sunday after that will be Easter. So Holy Week will be here soon. A couple of announcements inside your bulletins this morning. Oh, one other thing. I have forgotten to do this lately. To welcome those who will be worshiping with us through our CD ministry in the coming days of this week. So we welcome them and say hi to them. They were always in our hearts and our prayers. So again, in your worship bulletin, there are two different inserts. So as you look over at your neighbors, you can share. Regarding our one great hour of sharing, we'll be taking that up Easter Sunday and probably Holy Humor Sunday, the Sunday after Easter. We are planning Holy Humor Sunday again, so plan to be here the Sunday after Easter. So bring that to your attention. Again, in the bulletin, choir this Wednesday and Thursday, the village drummers will be out at the county care home at 2 o'clock drumming with them. We've become fairly regular out there, going out there quite a few times to be with them. Also, too, this coming Saturday, which will be the 26th?
16th.
Oh, the 16th. Yes. This Saturday will be the 16th. I'm just leaping through time. We will have our second Super Saturday Kids gathering starting at 11 o'clock with Carol and Ashley. So for our little ones, well, we're missing all of them today, aren't we? So, but those of you that are connected to them, please remember that, or talk to those that aren't here today that our Super Saturday Kids will be here. And our older youth that are coming in and here, we're growing in number and size. You all can come next Saturday at 11 o'clock and help out if you would like. This coming Wednesday, we will be at St. Paul's that's the 13th, for our lectionary Latin study. Again, this is on the lectionary for each Sunday, so we'll be going over the lectionary for Palm Sunday. So please plan to attend. Are there any other announcements?
Yeah, this is the last day to take the order for Easter flowers.
That's right. Easter flowers today. If you don't have it with you here in church, you'll need to get it to Shirley or Mary at their house. Oh, I know the other announcement. It's really kind of more of a thank you. It's a thank you to a huge group of people. Yesterday we had the funeral here at the church for Gloria Jean West, Carpenter Godwin, the kitchen crew was Shirley and Mary and Mary and Sarah and Carol and Erlene. That was the kitchen crew, and I know Delvin was in to help set up tables and all that, but I know there were an abundance of you that were cooking and preparing food, and we had a lot of compliments on the food, as always, and especially the desserts. But they were fed well before we then traveled out to the cemetery in Somerton. Where she has been laid to rest. So we do thank you, one and all. There's a big effort in that, but it was a wonderful meal and gathering for the family. So,
Pastor Susan?
Yes.
Was the session meeting canceled?
Session members, we're missing three. We needed to move our session meeting this week. We'll try Thursday still. And I'll get with everyone. We were going to gather after church today, and I think a good number of us must be taking off for the day, since it's supposed to be a beautiful day today, I guess. So we'll try for Thursday at 7 o'clock.
That's just
the plan. Yep, and we'll see what happens. So Thursday, 7 o'clock, session meeting. Any other announcements? as we prepare our hearts, hear these words of Scripture. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Let us worship God with our heart, our mind, our body, our soul, our entire being. I invite you to rise for our call to worship this morning. From the deepest places in our lives, we cry to God. God, hear my voice. Do not be far from me. Let us not forget God's steadfast love and power to redeem. We wait for God, and in God's word we find hope. Let us pray. God, be with us as we gather here. May we never lose sight of you. Let our songs be raised in praise and wonder. May our words celebrate your story of salvation. Let our prayers be focused on you, free from distraction. Let the joys and the sorrows we share always bring us back to you. All praise and glory and honor be yours, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Our opening hymn, Like the Murmur of a Dove Song, number 314.
Thank you.
This is our time in our worship. We have moved some things around, but this is our time in our worship where we bring our praise and our blessings before God as we prepare to hear God's holy word. So what are your praises, your thanksgivings this day? Today is Cameron's 16th birthday. My goodness, are we ready? Do you have your driver's license yet? At 16:01, no. What other? I think it's such a gift and a blessing to have all of our beautiful flowers, the daffodils. That is one of the things that I think is so special about Monroe County in the spring, or all the daffodils. Frank and I went driving around yesterday to look at some more, so they are coming out. Ashley.
I have two, Joyce. I spent Thursday with Colleen while Nick was finishing up the windows. And we just had a really good time catching up.
Good.
And I know she'd love to see any of you if you venture to drive down Sunday.
Yes.
And I'm very thankful to Bob Owens because I'm embarrassed to say this, but I purchased a computer in July. And I've not used it because I couldn't. And he came over this week and got me started on it. And then without asking, because I have trouble finding my cursor, he did something to my cursor so it's easier to see it on the screen, and I have used my computer more this week than I've used it since I got it.
Good.
So I'm really thankful. We have people who can know those things and can help us out.
Amen to that. Again, time with Colleen down in Sistersville, so if you feel like taking a drive, give her a call. She loves you all dearly and would love to see any of you, and also the gift of technology and our computer whizzes. Diane. They were. I was driving past there and it's like, oh, good. So yes, the tombstones have been reset in Buchanan Cemetery and the fence will be next. So it's been a little while in coming, but peace in the land. Any other joys this morning? The Hogue sisters and family have been able to be with their brother Bill, and I know it's just a special time when you all get together, and a crazy time, both to laugh and cry, and that is a gift and a true blessing, and you know that, and I know you know that, and our prayers are with you as well. What others? We give thanks for all our joys that God brings to us. In days of sunshine as well as days of rain, we are thankful. As we continue to praise and worship God, let us prepare for this time of confession. If God is keeping a record of our sins, we hope it will never be published. But in reality, if the book was opened, every page would be blank. For God forgives. Let us wait for God's mercy and grace as we come to our God with our confession. Let us pray together now, saying, set free by your saving grace, generous God, we confess that we are still confined by our pride and arrogance. We cannot throw off the grave clothes of habitual sin. We cling to our sins and fears simply because they are so familiar and comfortable. Yet into every corner of our lives, into every shadow of fear, into death's dark tomb, you enter, steadfast God. You break the bonds of sin and death and call us to new life through the love and sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us have a time of silent confession and prayer. Amen. People of God, put your hope in God. For God offers us love that never fails and life that never, ever ends. We wait for God, and God does not show up late. God's hope, God's love, God's grace is forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Guide us, O God, by your Spirit and Word, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading today comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. That can be found on page 210 of the Pew Bibles if you want to follow along. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. And so a person becomes an enemy of God when he is controlled by his human nature, for he does not obey God's law, and in fact, he cannot obey it. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. But you do not live as your human nature tells you to. Instead, you live as the Spirit tells you to, if, in fact, God's Spirit lives in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ lives in you, the Spirit is life for you, because you have been put right with God, even though your bodies are going to die because of sin. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from death lives in you, then he who raised Christ from death will also give life to your mortal bodies by the presence of His Spirit in you. The responsive reading is Psalm 130 on page 684 of the Old Testament. As always, those on this side of the church will read the odd number verses, Pastor Susan, the even number verses. And for a change, we've got Pastor Susan's side outnumbered.
Big time.
Okay. Psalm 130. From the depths of my despair, I call to you, Lord.
Hear my cry, O Lord. Listen to my call for help.
If you keep a record of your sin, you would escape from being condemned.
But you forgive us, so that we should reverently obey you.
I wait eagerly for the Lord's help, and in his word I trust.
I wait for the Lord more eagerly than watchmen wait for the dawn, than watchmen wait for the dawn.
Israel, trust in the Lord, because his love is constant, and he is always willing to save.
He will save his people Israel from all their sins. Our children's time. I took the singing out, but if you want to play the song while they come up. Our youth, are they around? Come on up for a minute. They're hiding. Come out of the woodwork. Have a seat. You guys are cute. We're gonna do this time where I talk to you guys. Cheyenne, you're missing it. You're downstairs. You coming up? Our girls are downstairs. We just have the guys up here. I bet they'll be running up soon because they can hear. Okay, listen. And the scripture today, it's a really, really long story, but it's about some sisters who have a brother that's gotten sick. And they're really, really concerned. And they actually get mad at Jesus because he just doesn't show up fast enough to do something to take care of their brother. And they're really, really mad at Jesus. But Jesus takes a couple of days to get there. Do you think it's okay to get mad at Jesus or to get mad at God? No? Let me ask you something. Do you ever get mad at your parents sometime? Huh? You never get mad at your parents? Come on, tell the truth. You can be honest. Ooh, I get mad at my mother. It was just my mother, myself. Now, the women out there can understand that. Mothers and daughters, we love each other dearly, but ooh, we can butt heads, just like rams, I'll tell you. We can go head to head, but we still love one another. And you know what? It's kind of okay to get mad at your parents sometimes because you know why? We're different people. And I bet there's things that you want to do sometimes and your parents just say, no, you're not doing it. That never happens, does it? Where you want to do something and your parents say, nope. Well, it happened to me a lot as a kid. And so I would get mad and I would get upset. Well, God is our loving parent. And sometimes, you know what? We do get mad at God. As you grow up and you get older and you read through the Old Testament, a lot of the Old Testament and in the Psalms are places where people are talking about being mad at God and being frustrated by God. And they feel like he's just gone away and he's not even there taking care of them or helping them at all, you know? And they get really, really upset with God. And you know what? It is okay to get mad at God. It's okay to get mad at Jesus. You know why? Because they love us so much, they understand why we've gotten mad and why we've gotten frustrated. Because sometimes we just want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, huh? Don't you? I get that way sometimes. This is what I'm going to do right here, right now, because I want to do it. But you know what? Sometimes when we get like that and our parents tell us, now's not the right time, they're right. What we wanted to do, we shouldn't be doing at that time. Maybe we're not old enough or we haven't learned enough. And so it's not quite the right time to do something. You know, and so you have to wait to another day when there's time for everybody. If you wanted to go for a bike ride, but maybe you wanted to go too far, well, you need to wait till another day when an older brother or sister or maybe even your parent could go with you and keep you safe. Or maybe you wanted to, I don't know, learn how to do something different, riding your horses, or if you wanted to learn how to start shooting a gun so you could go hunting with your family, father, brothers, or uncles or something, but they say, you know what? You need to wait a little longer till you're a little bit bigger because they want to keep you safe when you learn how to do something like that because it's important that you be safe. So you need to wait till you're a little bit bigger. So there are times when, even though we get mad and we get frustrated, we have to wait. And this is what happens in the story. Mary and Martha have to wait for Jesus to get there. But in our story today, the reason why they have to wait is because God's glory is going to be revealed in Jesus. And what that really means is God's love for us and how much he loves us. It takes time for us to see and understand. But one thing you can always know, even on the days when you get mad at your own parents, or even on a day if you get mad or frustrated with God because you don't quite... How old are you guys now? 6? And how old? 12? So, yeah, that would be like... When I was in... An 8? When I was about Kevin's age, I just sat at the kitchen table with my grandma and I said, I don't know if I believe in God. Because you can't see him, you can't talk to him, and you can't touch him. And I said, I just don't know if I believe in God. And my grandmother, being a very loving grandmother, she answered me in a very loving way that as I grew up, I'd come to understand who God is better. So if you ever find yourself saying that, remember that, well, when I was Kevin's age, I said, I just don't understand about God. Because I couldn't see him, and I couldn't touch him, and I couldn't talk to him. I wanted to talk to him. I'm a talker. But look at this. Here I am, sitting in church with you guys, and I'm a preacher. And I believe in God. And I know that God is really real in our hearts and in our lives. So just remember, sometimes, even when you get mad or frustrated or upset, sometimes your parents know better. Sometimes God knows better, that we just have to wait and be patient. All right? All right. Let's have a prayer. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Does everybody know what their right hand is? That's that hand over there. That hand right there. That'll be your right hand. Okay, put that hand up. And then your left hand, the other hand, put that one down. Okay, now, I'm going to slide my hand over here. You and I can do that. Now you slide your hand over there. There we go. How's that? Your hand can be going out to the church. How's that? And we're going to have a prayer this way. It's kind of a different way of holding hands, but we're still all connected. So let us pray. Loving God, sometimes we don't understand your love, and we get mad, and we get impatient, and we get frustrated, just like we do with our own moms and dads and sisters and brothers and cousins and, well, just other people around us, even our friends. But we know sometimes, God, that we just have to be patient and we just have to wait and let things happen when they're supposed to happen, not when we want to make them happen. So help us to be patient when we get mad and upset. Amen. Thanks, guys. Head on back. Remember, behave, be good. Our gospel reading this morning is a gospel found in John. We're continuing with the Johannine gospel. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. This is an important story that happens on page 140 in your pew Bible. John chapter 11, 1 through 45. In light of the coming Holy Week, pay attention to these words. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, became sick. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. The sisters sent Jesus a message, "Lord, your dear friend is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "The final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he received the news that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Teacher, the disciples answered, "Just a short time ago, the people there wanted to stone you, and are you planning to go back?" Jesus said, "A day has 12 hours, doesn't it? So whoever walks in broad daylight does not stumble, for he sees the light of this world. But if he walks during the night, he stumbles because he has no light." Jesus said this and then added, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up." The disciples answered, "If he is asleep, Lord, he will get well." Jesus meant that Lazarus had died, but they thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. But for your sake, I am glad that I was not with him, so that you will believe. Let us go to him." Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us all go along with the teacher so that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had been buried 4 days before. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Judeans had come to see Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been there, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask for him." "Your brother will rise to life," Jesus told her. "I know," she replied, "that he will rise to life on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will die, will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she answered. "I do believe that you are the Messiah and the Son of God who was to come into the world." After Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary privately. "The teacher is here," she told her, and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up and hurried out to meet him. Jesus had not yet arrived in the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The people who were in the house with Mary, comforting her, followed her when they saw her get up and hurry out. They thought that she was going to the grave to weep there. Mary arrived where Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell at his feet. "Lord," she said, "if you had been there, my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her weeping, and he saw how the people with her were weeping also. His heart was touched, and he was deeply moved.
"Where have you buried him?" he asked them. "Come and see, Lord," they answered. Jesus wept. "See how much he loved them," the people said. But some of them said, "He gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not keep Lazarus from dying?" Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. "Take away the stone," Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, "There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, "I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me." After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." He came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave cloths and with a cloth around his face. "Untie him," Jesus told them, "and let him go." Many of the people who had come to visit Mary saw what Jesus did, and they believed in him. These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Your rule and reign, it has all.
Let us pray. God of awe, God of wonder, God of life and all creation, we adore you, we praise you, we bow before you. Touch our hearts now, O Lord, as we come before you to hear your word proclaimed. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There is much going on in this story today. I guess I say that a lot, I think, when I open up a sermon, that there's much going on. This is a story where, well, Jesus lets down some of his closest friends, his disciples, ones that we are told that he loves. They call to him, they cry to him, and yet he waits a couple of days before deciding to go. And the disciples say to him, why are you going back there? I mean, we understand that you love Lazarus and that you love Mary and Martha, but there are people in Judea that want to do great harm to you. Why are you going back? And Jesus says, the glory of God is to be revealed. Sometimes in our lives, it's hard to be patient. I mean, what does that mean, the glory of God has yet to be revealed? We want things to happen when we need them to happen, when we're praying to God for them to happen. And they just don't seem to come. This is a time, too, in this gospel where we really do meet the human Jesus. But there is much going on for Jesus now, too. We know that Jesus wept. But when he weeps, we are also told that he is deeply moved. In some scripture, it says that he was, in fact, troubled. Did we get him? Is it a wasp or a bee? A wasp, the first of our season, I think. Thanks, Shirley. May he rest in peace. But we are told that Jesus wept and that he is deeply moved and troubled. The Greek word has meanings of being angry or even annoyed, troubled. Because Jesus, God incarnate, the Son of Man, still sees death all around him. And he sees how we succumb to death, how it breaks us, how it hurts us, how it saddens us. He weeps, for he is troubled by this earthly death, because he knows that he is the Son of God. And he knows that he is there in our midst for us to see right here and right now new life. But it's so easy for us to miss it because, well, we want things to happen in a different way than what God has planned. And this very human Jesus, if you recall, in just a few short days, we'll hear the words again. He goes to the garden and prays, if it be thy will, O Lord, Let this cup pass from me. The very human heart of Jesus. And even upon the cross, Jesus will say, Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus fully enters in, that human, that fully human Jesus enters in to our sorrow and our pain and our loss in life. But Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is new life in our midst. And it's not just a promise of what will happen one day, but right here, right now, right before us. Many of you know that part of, or the one of the big parts of me is all my spiritual training or spirituality stuff that I go to. And it is because it is part of the very heart of my faith. The spiritual work that I do, along with the will and hope and help and grace of God, truly is the only thing that got me through seminary. I often joke that as I was going through seminary, I was actually on a dual path. I was doing the academic work, and I struggled through seminary. It was very hard. I toss out, you know, the ADD stuff, but all my survival mechanisms academically crashed on and burned on me in seminary. But this side path developed literally within my first couple of days there when someone said, do you know where I can find a spiritual director? And I thought, well, what new age crazy thing is this? And come to find out that no, spiritual directors have been around for thousands of years. We have had people that help us grow and see God's movement in our life and God's new life in our life when we just can't see it. It's kind of that forest for the trees thing. And that journey academically for me was a long, hard road. But woven throughout that entire time was this spiritual journey, this grace of God that came through a lot of other people. But we're not taught to see it. It's part of one of the backsides or one of the downsides of our enlightenment period that we've gone through. And I've spoken of that recently. Because through the enlightenment, I mean, many great things happened. Science developed and technology developed. And my goodness, look at all the medicines that we have and antibiotics. And we can cure so much. And yet we just got hit broadside by cancer. Why can't we figure out this cancer thing? And we got hit broadside by AIDS. And we can help people, but still, these viruses that attack our human bodies. And now the flu viruses, they're already starting to talk about what's going to come this coming year. I forget the name of it now, but I just read a little article about it. We could solve so much. And we got so confident in ourselves as human beings, and to a point, rightly so. But then we started hitting these walls, and we're learning that, well, antibiotics, well, it's not always good to take them. And we started to see that this cancer thing is really just getting the better of us. And we can help people with HIV, with AIDS, so far, but it can still have its damage. And why can't we do something about Alzheimer's? And why can't we do something about Parkinson's? I mean, still, so much out there that we can't do anything about. But how do we see God in that? We begin to see God because we start to see our own humanness and that we can't solve everything. and that life in its abundance and its grace comes from being able to see God in our life. I've spoken a good bit about the book by Graham Standish called Becoming a Blessed Church. And he originally, he didn't start out to be a minister. He became a psychologist and worked as a counselor in a psychiatric hospital. And when he was in this hospital, he had a 16-year-old young man come in, and he had been put in this hospital because of bizarre and dangerous behavior, which was subsequently diagnosed as bipolar affective disorder. He was manic depressive. And if you know anyone who's bipolar, it's a very, very difficult illness to deal with. And his behavior stemmed from a manic state, a psychotic episode that he had. The staff wasn't seeing much improvement in him, and they weren't holding out much hope for him, even with the medications that they were giving. And Graham one night went into this young man's room, this 16-year-old, the same age as Cameron, and sat down to have one of their counseling sessions. And the boy said, "I have something that I'd really like to tell you, but I'm afraid to tell you because I think you're going to laugh at me." And the counselor said, or Graham Standish said, "No, I won't laugh at you. Go ahead, tell me." And he said, "The other night, I was in my room, and I was looking out the window, and I saw Jesus. And behind Jesus, there were two paths. And one path had, in the young man's words, bums and people from Skid Row on it." He said, "And then on the other path, the right path, that there were successful people on that path." And Graham said, not quite knowing what to say, he just said, "Uh-huh. Well, tell me more. What do you think Jesus was telling you?" Because they don't really train him with what to do with these spiritual things. And the young man said, "I think Jesus was telling me that I have a choice to make right now. If I keep going the way I'm going to end up on Skid Row with all the bums. But if I make the choice to join Jesus, I can be successful like all the men on the other path." Graham said, not knowing what to say, he just kind of looked at the young man and said, "Well, maybe it's a good idea to follow Jesus and to listen to him." About a week later, Graham comes back again, and the young man says to him, "I had another experience of Jesus. This time, Jesus was standing on the 50-yard line of a football field, but there was a chain-link fence that separated us." The young man said that looking back, he saw that the grass was dead from the end zone to the 25-yard line, while the rest of the grass was green. "Again, I asked, 'What do you think?'" Graham said, "What do you think Jesus is saying?" And the young man said, "I think Jesus is telling me that I have gone from death to life, but I still have obstacles to overcome to join him." Again, Graham says, "I think you better listen to Jesus." Well, the man, this young man, this 16-year-old, did overcome this illness with bipolar. Now, Graham says you can't totally dismiss medications because they help as well. Any one of us that takes meds for depression or anxiety or bipolar illness such as this, know that the medicines can help. But following Jesus really is what transformed his life. The medicines helped stabilize him, but Jesus transformed his life right here, right now. Graham saw this young man's father a year later and said, "How's he doing?" He said, "You'd never believe it was the same young man. He's getting ready to go to college. You'd never know." You see, Jesus can transform our lives right here, right now. It's not just an out there one day, someday, when we pass on to the other side and that new life, which we know through our faith that that hope, that promise is a reality. But it's right here, right now before us. We see the flowers blossoming, branches on trees that we thought were dead from the winter and that a frost got are budding and coming to life. That same new life happens for us. The question is, what is dying in us, or what needs to die in us? Envy, jealousy, worry, criticism, nosiness, just a myriad of things that can keep us in a dead place. But when we turn to Jesus to give us new life here and now, to transform us here and now, in the midst of that, we can have new life. That's the hard part of our journey of faith as we grow up, because we kind of don't really get that anymore as adults. We got the stories as children, and we got the history of the church and the polity of the church and confirmation. But as adults now, like that 16-year-old boy and Mary and Martha, how do we see Jesus bringing new life before us, right here, right now, today? Amen.
This is our time when we share our prayers. We share our thanksgivings. Where's your little guy? Well, or we share our prayers, our concerns. We have had Bill Hogue on our prayer list for some time now. And he truly, truly needs our prayers now, as does his whole family. This is a time when we uphold them in a most sacred and compassionate way, as we have held many of you and your loved ones. What other prayers this day do we hold deep in our hearts? Are there any others? Yeah.
I just have a special prayer. My great niece, Aiden Demerling, was baptized.
Oh. Her great niece was baptized yesterday, and a reminder that today we have a baby shower happening among our midst. And in the midst of death, our physical death on this earth, we are reminded that there is always new life, and God takes care of us always, always. So that is a joyous day, that baptism. Any other prayers this day? Let us pray. O Lord, on this day, right here, right now, as we walk with Jesus in the fullness of his humanity, may we see the new life that he brings. And even though it is uncertain, even though we may hesitate to celebrate it as the people gathered around Lazarus' tomb were uncertain of what this power, this new life, meant among them. And some ran in fear, and others ran and retaliated in violence. And still others bowed in awe and wonder and saw the living God before them. Give us strength, give us courage not to run in fear, not to retaliate in violence, but to bow and give thanks and grow in your love and in the new life that you prepare before us, right here, right now, before our very eyes. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we might jump into that joyous new life that you lay before us each and every moment of each and every day. And hear us now, O Lord, as we pray, as you have taught us always throughout the ages to pray to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us present with joy our offerings to the living font of joy. Let us pray together, saying, May we be born anew. May we step forth in new life. May we answer your call to us by name in your name, to your glory, in your glory, in your honor. Receive these our gifts, humbly given in recognition of all your blessings. Miraculously multiply them so that great things are done in your name. These things we pray, God who grants free will, willingly, hopefully, prayerfully. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. And I'm changing things. The final closing hymn is going to be 363, Wonderful Words of Life in the Red Hymnal. 363. In the red hymnal, right where Luann just was. Hear these words. Go forth and strengthen all who may be tiring, for this far along the Lenten way, this far from the Easter goal. Wonderful Words of Life, 363.
Thank you.
one day hear our Savior Jesus call us, "Come forth." And may this day, may we go forth, trusting that there is one who weeps at our stumbling and rejoices in our joy. Amen.